The energy comes from here, like through here, and around and out like that.
Yeah.
So this is our outside, and this is our intake zone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the online poison. Okay, I'm blocked here. Okay, well, I will speak that.
If you look at your internal anatomy from an anatomical chart, the stomach has a mouth that comes and it comes down this way and go across. Mm-hmm. This is the ascending side of the body. This is the descending side of the body. The ascending colon is on the right side. The descending colon is on the left side.
Yeah.
The transverse colon is across.
Yeah.
Well, your vesical valve isn't here. So that everything has to come this way and come up and go across.
Okay. I have a trouble with this feeling. And Barker showed me how to work on that.
What about universal energy? Does that come in on the left side? I was thinking universal energy came in. We took universal energy on this side and it went out on the right side. I don't know. I went to listen to a Polaris. Clarity. He had a dowser. Anyway, he was doing things with his hand up, getting energy from the universe. And this was his outgoing. Anyway.
I'm not going to say it's wrong. I'm just saying it's only part of the information on how the energy works.
Okay.
You see, most of this information that they're being giving, practically a lot of the individuals take off with half of it and don't understand all of it. It is valid to say it comes in this way and goes down this way, but in which reference to the representation of the energy? In terms of the life flow or in terms of the magnetic flow? You see, that's what they don't know about. And so when they say it comes in this way and goes down this way and they get results, they only indicate one aspect of the flow of the energy. That all that is doing is magnetically interfacing with the body, but it's not flowing with it in terms of life, respiratory. Your body is not just a chemical mechanism, it's an electrical mechanism and a magnetic mechanism. So we have a lot of researchers in different aspects of it, with discovering different techniques to correct different problems. It's until we take the integrated whole of the energy, what it's doing, then we have a better picture of what is going on. This is not incorrect. See, it comes in here and goes down there. That's a magnetic flow of the body. It's very fundamentally fact. But the point is, which part of the anatomy, anterior or posterior, makes a difference if you heal the man or the man gets more sick. See, this is why we have to know a little more than just what results we get in some problems. Anteriorly, this is magnetic. Posteriorly, it's incorrect. It won't do the job. It's like I tell somebody, the left side of the body is female and the right side of the body is male, right? That's, again, half knowledge. It's not all the truth. They are speaking anteriorly, not, they're not speaking posteriorly. Again, it has different reactions, and in terms of the body. Tell them that this side is male, this side is female, they look at you crazy. Until you're able to demonstrate it, then they back off, because they're only speaking in one phase of representation of the body. There are a lot of schools are like that, only speaking in one phase. It's until you deal with enough sicknesses from different levels, from depth back to birth, and take these individuals and get them to function again, then we learn more what the body is actually doing. It's valid to say that this is female and this is male, but then you ask them front or back, and it looks kind of puzzled. What do you mean, front or back? Left side is female, right side is male. But not 100% valid. It's only in reference to certain illnesses.
So it switches blur from front to back?
That was something they discovered that 8 years after polarity came to this country, that is such thing as switch polarity. The Orientals have been doing it for thousands of years, switching your polarity every 24 hours. But you can't go around telling the world the knowledge because we're not ready for it. We're living an agricultural language-based description of the physics of the body and evolving into a electromechanical description of the mechanics of the body. So it's taking time to break away from the agricultural language into the electromagnetic language to understand the physics of what we're saying to ourselves. And that's exactly where we are at the present stage of our evolution. It is not the physics incorrect. It is that the language to describe it from agricultural to mechanical is in a transition stage. And so a lot of techniques that have emerged from the East to the West are in a transition for the language. That's why when you start bringing out techniques from either side of the world, we have to be more specific in terms of what we think. It's all right, we hear that the right side of the body is male and the left side of the body is female. And you go wrong, and a lot of schools like that exist with this concept. And then when you have enough illness to show it, it doesn't validate what you do. Now, you don't say their techniques are wrong or their interpretation is wrong. For certain symptoms, that definition is correct. But on what part of the anatomy? The anterior portion or the posterior portion? Now, in the anterior portion, to say that the left side is female, and right side is male, it's incorrect. In the posterior portion, that's valid. No, but you can't point to the human body where there's a seam to say which is anterior and posterior, only because the eyes happen to be in front of the head and they're not looking through the back of the head. You've got a problem to explain it to yourself. But if you can show the seam on the body, which is front and back, then a lot of the data would be in proper perspective. But because they made the allocation of right and left side, never for one moment realizing that sides in a non-seamless mechanism can be front back. And if everything was just plain flat out, and never making the curves in their own mechanics back, that's the years after they discovered that this changes going on. It's valid to say yes, this is female and this is male. But what part of the anatomy, anterior or posterior? Anteriorly it's incorrect, posteriorly it is correct. Then when we come to left brain, right brain orientation, that's where we begin to see the mistakes made about the allocation of it. They were correct when you're inferring anterior posterior, because then it's more accurate, they interface correctly with the brain. Now, a person has a paralysis of the arm, left side. We automatically assume front and back is left side. And we automatically assume it's the right brain that caused it. Until you demonstrate to them that the right brain is partially responsible for it to shut down, and the left brain is partially responsible for it shutting it down too. Then they puzzle, how the hell can that be? It's only in anterior, posterior references that they begin to see what they're talking about. They're talking about electric magnetic flow as one function to one part of the brain, to one side of the body. They haven't discovered respiratory control that regulates. You see, every part of the anatomy can take a vacation except this one after 3 minutes. you know, there was a story that said each part of the anatomy was arguing how important they were. And finally the nostril says, okay, fellas, I'll take a break from breathing. Everybody went berserk. Then they found out which is the most important part.
No, 3 o'clock in the morning when you've got these nostrils and you wake up and you're feeling in the back of the pharynx, you know, and it swells and you think, whoop, you know. And, but I'm embarrassed. I never had anything like this. This has gone on for 4 weeks. I think it's over, and then all of a sudden, it's not. Is there a bug around that does this these days?
Well, you talk about bugs. Arch your back. Go forward. Tell me the respiratory.
Okay.
You see, it is not so much the respiratory action on your lungs. Postural position that releases the stress, because what you're doing with your spine, you're doing like that, curving it, which is causing this air to constrict, and causing this air to blow up. So the air that would dissipate from the inhalation will stay trapped in here from the pressure in this position.
Well, I'm getting fat too.
Yeah, you're getting boring in the body, and this will start bulging.
Yeah.
And that's the result of slow down carbon dioxide. No. Therefore, the emphysemic effect or bronchial effect would be a drying up of this food for a bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
That means that the transport delivers too fast.
Mm-hmm.
And it dries it too quick.
Mm-hmm.
No. By going back this way. Mm-hmm. No, sure. Mm-hmm. There you go. Nothing more than the posture. So that's why the yogis are doing postures for thousands of years. Postural therapy is one of the most effective ways to realign the transport in the body.
Mm-hmm. And all the work I do is leaning over too.
Yeah, see now. And yawn. You notice how comfortable it is?
Yeah.
It's not straining the body at all. You see how the next round will just come together? Mm-hmm. And go on.
Oh, I am the chi
and the energy. See? And then the body is just something new.
Because I don't really have a cold.
No.
I don't have enough mucus in the body, apparently.
Okay, well, you notice your saliva is thickening back again? Yeah.
Yeah.
Saliva, no, it's not drying up.
I usually have a tremendous saliva flow, actually.
Yeah. The other way, you're curving it and you're speeding it up in one direction. Hydraulically, you're going to go back.
I think I have a tendency to sleep curved too.
Yeah, so you just to move again back into the location.
Yeah, because you know, after a few minutes in the morning when I feel hoarse and strained,
yeah,
then I feel perfectly normal during the day.
Yeah,
I think
right.
It's gone, you know.
Because uh-huh. When you stand up, you see?
Yeah.
Your back straight up and you're forced to put the weight central. The mechanism start working. When you sit down like that, it's going to lock in one area. Go back. Or you get up, you shift the transport.
Is it better than to work if you can standing up?
Well, I stand, but
the body has a 60-minute span. 50 minutes on, 10 minutes rest. So. Yeah, in the military they used to do it years ago, make you march 50 minutes and rest for 10 minutes. Because every organ is what? Dualistic to itself. One input, one output. So they were doing it unconsciously. for many, many centuries of recognition, didn't understand the biological clock. Today we know that the biological clock is actually regulating transportation patterns in the body. So, postural position is a self-correcting technique every hour. Say, I drive, I rest every hour.
That's how you do it.
You cannot fight the biological clock, you learn to work with it. Or else you end up in the grave and the clock laughs at you. And that's what they call midnight eternity for you, brother. You can beat the clock by working with it.
Well, so what I did was I lowered my resistance by doing this, and then I got some kind of little germ. At least I think that's why I get a fever with it off
and
on.
Well, the germ, remember, the germ is already there. We can't do nothing to you.
Unless you lower
you
yourself.
Lower the resistance level by slowing down the transport delivery time, which you call diminishing the immunity level.
Desire the other day to suddenly lie down flat on my back on the floor. It must have been the reason.
Yeah.
Trying to straighten it out.
Innately, you.
For a minute, I remember thinking that.
You sense the ideal thing to do to correct the condition, but because you don't have enough information or exposure to it, you don't do it. You always kind of think it's the wrong thing to do. But after a while, the body. Seems to be released if you do try it, and then you know that you're on the pump or something.
Yeah, because usually, you know, I forget about the body. I get going in the day, and I really forget about the body. Sometimes I may stand too long in one position, and I come back into the body, I quit being mental, and you know, I think, ugh, you know, I forgot about you. You know, so I have a tendency to do that anyway. Yeah, I just
see the constriction from the curvature. Stayed too long, you overexhaust it, and it locks it, and then you refrigerate it that way. So you can't fall.
Oh, yeah, it's releasing anything. Would that have a tendency to make my thyroid slow down?
Yes, your thyroid will dry up from the curvature.
Uh-huh. The reason it hits now is just. Now make the eyes tear.
The tear is only the dehydration. Or thawing out effect. When you take a piece of meat out of the refrigerator, or the deep freeze section, you put it on the table, after a few minutes you know it's damp all around.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thawing out effect. So when you're stiff and rigid, you're frozen. Biologically, you're refrigerated by your own carbon dioxide. But you don't know that, and sensation of pain, your first thing you look for some kind of chemical to slow down the sensation. And in actuality, refrigeration doing it, you know. And then when you start working in therapy, you thaw it out, you start to feel the water flowing. You're not really crying for the sake of emotional release, so biological thawing.
Well, I noticed in the middle of the afternoon my eyes will tear.
Yeah.
You know.
Around bladder time.
Probably.
Yeah. So it's some kind of resistance.
What does that have to do with the...
Why
do you tear at bladder time?
The bladder is opposite to the lungs. And the constriction, dilation, exchange between lung and bladder. You don't retain fluid in the lungs at the moment, unless you got pneumonia. So if you have fluid in the lungs in the morning, would you be alive?
Oh, I got the dead arm.
pneumonia. Overload of fluid trapped in the lungs. Now, if it's dry in the morning, but if beyond what is considered non-operation of the lung, they'll bury you for what? Consumption. So you have to have a certain, you have to have a certain moisture transportation in the lungs in the lung tank. In reference to the bladder that stores the fluid. And the fluid in the bladder's got to be at a certain temperature in order to make it transport all the time. But we don't look at it that way. We always look at it in terms of one organ and its symptoms, and never look at it as hydraulics that is pumping through by air and liquid. So in the afternoon, if your lungs are dry and your bladder is filled with liquid, what would be a problem? A hacking cough at 4 o'clock in the afternoon with the urge to go to the bathroom but carry your lid. Sounds familiar to you?
What do you mean?
When you were a kid, they call it what? Rush the doctor, the school is suffering from influenza.
Oh.
You want to go to the bathroom, you can't do it.
So maybe you meant whooping cough.
Oh, all right. It's whooping cough, you know. But it's the same thing. He got there, none of a constricted bladder. That is releasing the fluid, and the lungs are dry. And he's coughing because why? There's not enough moisture getting through. So he didn't realize that certain foods were necessary, but they gave you antibiotics and so forth to get the release. And sometimes it phased down the symptoms. But yet, food was there by nature to relieve the pain, to make it flow. So when you say cranberry juice, you don't, not to me, people like cranberry juice, it's good talk.
Put sugar in it in the store.
Huh? I know, but nature put it together for your best elimination of blood of time and to keep that lung moisturized by the tartness in your on your tongue, because you're swallowing more saliva to compensate. Well, we don't know that till years after we do a lot of extraction. I have this little tablet. It all came from a cranberry pulverized. And that's why it seems comical after years how he comes back to buy the stuff and see where it's taken from.
And this is interesting. I'm getting that feeling like a lump in the throat.
Mm-hmm.
And in my life from time to time, I've had that maybe for 2 or 3 days, really severely, then it goes away. I never know what it was until I began releasing solar plexus.
Mm-hmm.
That will seem to do it now. But this is the body unrolling it right
that's
now.
That's right, exactly.
So what
is... postural position is its own cellular therapy.
Mm-hmm.
It's what they call postural hydraulics.
Mm-hmm.
The yogis is they call it asana, or postural correction.
The yawns are natural, I'm not having difference.
And dissipate the stress out of the muscles.
That's where
that
third position in the basic five is very good.
That's right.
Want to lean back and say?
You're doing it yourself. Your body's structured to do it.
Okay.
All you got to do is trust the joints.
Okay.
That's what they're for.
Oh, okay.
So you lock the joints and then the body will take its own adjustment.
Oh, okay.
And then it's hydraulically aligned. Okay. Good, good, good. Do something else in the meantime. Which one?
I'm sure I've been projecting a lot to India.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once that happened, that air element from there. And it seemed to be coincident with that too. So I wasn't sure what I was dealing with.
Yeah. Well, no, as we get healthier, we tend to forget on the time limits to rest. And so we overstress quicker than normal.
Well, I've been doing the Alma Nard because they gave me 6 months of it, and after they did, I decided that I felt so miserable with it. I thought, I've got to ignore this or I won't live.
Yeah.
So I began to ignore the body.
Yeah,
I managed to live without it. But you're right, now the solar, after a year and a half, the solar is probably straightening things out and it's bringing things up that I have to be attended to.
Well, you see, the biological clock was never recognized as being part of the responsibility of the organs to function at the time when you're efficient. You'll get maximum use of your body 24 hours a day with minimal tiredness if you work with the biological clock.
That's what I want.
And so if you don't understand that, then you start breaking it down, which is lowering the immunity level or transport speed, so the body starts clogging up with its own. It can't live with it.
I got away with it for years.
Yes, because...
More than most.
Remember I said years when I first came?
Yeah.
30 years to muck up, and then 30 years to clean up,
yeah.
And all the rest to enjoy it to stick it up.
Well, I'm having 35-year-old problems with 65, you know. So I'm, you know, it's not that I'm complaining.
Okay. Exactly. See, all is loose now. The internal pressure is working on its own.
I feel it flowing out this time.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
Now.
Can I?
Right.
Can I?
Exactly. That's the way. You keep the pressure. Now that and the yawn takes the automatic cycling.
Mm-hmm.
So the body brings its own pump. Everything goes back in the time. But that's what the postural techniques were centuries ago. We never really understood them until we started breaking them down into other systems. Now you can rock. You see, and the rocking is the oscillation you want. Like they take a bottle off a shelf that is sitting there for a long time, and the bottle, it's all the stuff inside gets rigid and perfect. And you shake it about it, start loosening up.
Mm-hmm.
The same way as what you're doing. You're making your own internal gas move your internal fluids that were slowed down by its own refrigeration to become more viable and tall of itself.
Now, run through the polarity for me again. On the anterior side, which is male and which is female?
On the anterior, this is female, this is male. Posterior, this is male, this is female.
Is there anything that the injury on the right hand side is many times returning upon it on the left?
Well, the injury on the anatomy of the body is indicative of the causative condition front or back.
Mm-hmm.
If you have it on this side, which is the female side, the person that caused the confrontation is a female.
Okay, so
now,
that's an addition to
the first person you have to deal with in female in your life is your mother. If it's here, it's father
mm-hmm.
and mother.
Mm-hmm.
Mother complained to daddy that you don't want to listen to her, and daddy come home and give you a spanking, so you got a pain right across, running across here over the years. And so you, then some schools say it's your father did it to you. Well, in actuality, it's mother, you lacking the cooperation requiring the father to impose the restriction.
Well, it wanted us to learn by trial and error and by comparison.
So I was, at least I was overcompensating, and then I noticed it, most important,
now,
after I
got
home.
That gave you now an individuality and a respect and a compassionate nature for yourself. By virtue of that, you heal yourself and correct your own mistakes and don't look for somebody to be doing it for you, because there's somebody who's going to do it for you. So the illusion of parental existence and the responsibility of parents who pay the rent because that's what they are not doing for you to take the responsibility to pay your own rent, then you have that, but you have to have that by comparison. The first pair that were created by the Creator had no belly buttons. Think of it. Then if you're born after that, you're going to have something pressure on your mechanism to remind you of something to compare you with. Then you're going to start moving on from comparison. You can't move on if you don't have something to compare with. You can't move on towards a certain goal if you don't have something to compare with. What goal can you set? But if you realize that it's not a matter of getting goal-oriented more important than coping with situations as they come up, you're always going to have more to experience.
Sure. It ends up in homeostasis or knowing your balance either way.
See, my good friend Yogananda, he cured me of that years ago.
Cured you of what? Being goal oriented?
Oh, yes. You know,
how did he cure you?
By the remark, looking forward to a better model next year.
What's that?
Looking forward to a better model next year.
Looking forward
to a better model next year.
Yeah.
So enjoy the model I have now.
Oh, I see.
And it could be worse.
Mm-hmm.
See, like somebody said to me years ago, you fell off a building and broke your leg and he said, you know, it could be worse. He said, oh yes, I know that I couldn't be talking to you. He said, no, it's going to happen to me. And I laughed right there while being in the cast. Not my friends, buddy. Here I am, a man, a fall out, a building smashed up, and I'm in a cast like that. I'm just standing right there. And he said, you fell off a building? I said, and he said, could be worse. And I said, yeah, I could be dead. No, his remark, he said, it could have happened to me. You. That's the humor of the worst, you see. Right there, I was cured again of the goal orientation to accept the and then I began to look at my own self objectively, but then the things I was saying.
How did that cure you?
Well, you see, so wonderful a person I felt, never had an ache and a pain in my body. I, of all persons, want to ask a realized man like you, Yogananda, give me my karma so I can face it now. Don't even know what the hell you're asking for sometimes. Would you imagine somebody, I don't recommend it.
You ask or realize personally for all your karma, so you can face it and go on to be a great person, not even realizing what you're saying to yourself. I said it about my karma. Now he had passed away at the time, and that was in 52 when he passed away, and in 55 I was running my own business and everything, and this afternoon I said, you know, I can really take on all my karma the rest of the other man. I gave it to him to take it off. That night, helping a friend on the TV and then three-story building, 10 feet, each story is 10 feet, so only 30 feet in Canada, Montreal.
You fell?
Yeah, I fell, I really fell. He was there to help me in other ways, but to teach me my big fat mouth is my own dumb fault. So I had to face the reality of what I said. And all the big fat ego went flying through the window, trying to be what I it's supposed to be before my time.
He was in the hospital for over a year and a half, I
think. You know, so you can be what you need to be when the time allows you to be it. And that's the real lesson. You can be a millionaire or any great professional person. It's the timing that has to be. It's the same with the baby. The baby cannot come before its time, no matter how we try. And so, we don't realize that until we hurt ourselves. Nature sometimes don't want to really hurt us severely, but at the same time, nature gives us some little irritation to make us conscious of the responsibility of learning to function within the time frame. And not get out of the time frame thinking it's going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
Better is always there for everyone, no matter who it is, but in its own time frame. And that's why each one has to come to grips with himself. He has to look at himself and see where he made statements about himself, what he was trying to impress or evade or be disappointed, and realize the time frame. And that's why the symptom, whatever the body couldn't handle the disappointment at the time, why it seems to be phasing out now, because we're getting more mature. At that time, the body ain't ready for it. And so that's what you have to look back. And then you can look back and pinpoint something that you wanted to do or accomplish, and yet at the same time, it's not the right time for it. That would be the irritant, that would be the thing that will constantly aggravate it. And when you can recognize it, it will go out to the whole mechanism. What the so-called stiffness, painful sensation of inability to cope. That's all you're really suffering from, the inability to cope with a certain situation. Giving the sensation there's a pain, there's no way to lift it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a reminder of a statement to yourself. And that statement might be premature, wanting things to happen before they come. And became over-impressed in a very subtle way and keeps aggravating us. And if you can look back and be ashamed of it or afraid of it, automatically it'll pop up and you'll recognize where the instant will start speaking itself. You'll wake up feeling a different person out there.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
You see it. When I fell off the building, broke up my body, I was totally incapacitated and unconscious after I couldn't walk. And that's their ultimate decision. But I realized in that situation,
did you say the doctor said you would never walk again?
And I realized in that situation, I put myself there. I wanted to have all my karma. Never realizing what the hell I was asking for, you know. Sometimes you ask for something you can't cope with and have to face the consequences in a premature way.
Mm-hmm.
When I began to realize what I had done, I began to look at myself objectively and then come to grips with the thought,
mm-hmm.
what is left for me to do? How can I get off this situation to walk and be a human being again? Well, it's not an easy battle. I don't say any battle facing oneself is easy.
Donald, at that time now, did you really, here's the question, were you getting karma or were you getting your conception of what you thought your karma was and to get it all out?
No, I got both.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
I realized that no man can handle all his karma. And sometimes we get carried the notion that karma means something bad. The word karma means action. And
I thought it meant fate.
More than that. Fate is one's phase of action. The blueprint of life has incorrect action, corrective action, and accumulative action, and contributive action. They're all classified as karma. But you don't know that by just reading the word or hearing it from some person until you have to go through it
mm-hmm.
to realize that what is involved. So when I asked for all my karma, I never realized what the word really meant in its full aspect. So I only got one portion of what it represented until I saw all the aspects of it. But then the other aspects were all positive over what I assumed was all negative. And then I began to realize I was asking for something that was totally unfamiliar or not prepared to handle completely. The painful sensations are the mistakes through ignorance, the unknowing goodness that is locked up waiting to be released, could never be given before the time because the brain can't cope with tomorrow. You can't live tomorrow till tomorrow comes. Even if you're going to eat a pound of raisins next January, you can't eat it before January comes. It's somewhere in the future, we know you can see to your head, there's a pound. But that day when it does show up and you look at the calendar, maybe the 2nd of January 1985, you're eating your pound of raisins. And that's what we mean. Compensatory action. And it isn't a bad, the future is neither bad in the past, it's the time of the focusing. And we only remember the past because it's how we acted towards it, or how we interacted with it. So, it may be painful or non-painful. So when I asked for all my karma, I did not realize that the word didn't mean bad. I have to explain what was good and what is bad about the true ignorance and what is accruing or what is contributive for the process of action. We call all life is action and karma. And it's the time phase that you find yourself to your contribution or confrontation. So there I was, totally thrown off the building, and usually any cost factor of the karma one has to face in terms of fate, if you want to see, the end result is death or injury to the body in some type. So most people die in different incarnations before all the so-called ignorances have been paid off or all the thought patterns or mistakes have been paid off. The body couldn't take the shock in that incarnation, so it just died. Give him another body, he'll pay it off. Let's say in one life you might have made 100 mistakes, but that body can't handle all 100 mistakes the paid off in that lifetime.
Mm.
It can only pay off 80.
Mm-hmm.
So 20 is going to accrue, waiting for you when you're born again. But at the same token, while that 20 is waiting to be paid, you may be accumulating another 60.
Mm.
And you can only pay off the 40 out of that. So 20 and 60 is it, you paid half. You got 40, and it keeps compounding like that. But when you realize as you go on through time, it may compensatory action for what is accumulated through ignorance, there comes a time when they cancel themselves out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the moment of freedom, but at the same time, you're not free to go away to do nothing. Because then there's an accumulative goodness and contributiveness that you have to be part of the world and not of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what our friend Krishna would say. Meaning that there comes a time that you got to serve here to be you, which is not really the ego, but what life is. And you're not running from life no more. You're not trying to be something in life. You are life. You're living it, and it's taking care of you in the direction the occupation allows you to fulfill. But that has to go through some time in your life, and you never know where it's going to come. In my case, when I asked for mine, I didn't realize what I said. I bit off more than I chewed. But then I realized at the same time, if I don't keep chewing, I'm going to choke with my own words.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept on chewing it to the point where I said, okay, the doctor said I can't walk, but this is my own mistake. Nobody's fault. I don't blame nobody for this. So I might as well keep on going. And only have one recourse left. The same big fat mouth that asked for it is the same big mouth that's going to have to correct it. So, what can I say to my body to compensate?
Did you start to walk all of a sudden, or did you have to go through therapy and, you know, a few little steps, or did you decide that, hey, I don't want to lie in bed?
One night I was lying in the cast, and this is the thought that came into my head very strong as I was exposed to Christian Catholic heritage.
Mm.
And I remember the healing of the lame man that couldn't. And the statement that Jesus made to the man was, pick up your bed and walk.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just the statement I had read when I was studying.
Pick up your bed?
Mm. And walk. The man could not walk, he was lame. And they used to carry him around in the bed. And they brought him in front of the man Jesus at the time. And all that Jesus said to him, pick up your bed and walk. And the man immediately got out of the bed and started walking, took a bed. And so that was the record of the incident.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, I was there in a cast, and this thought keep coming into my head. But it wasn't coming into my head as pick up your bed and walk. I remember the statement first as pick up your bed and walk. But the moment I say to myself, pick up my bed and walk, the word bed slipped out of my mouth and came out, pick up your body and walk. And then I remember, you don't argue with creative intelligence. The way creative intelligence gives you its mantra or called word or affirmation or reinforcement. So I said, this may be my mantra, pick up my body and walk. It didn't give me a Sanskrit, it didn't give me no Mongolian, it just gave me plain old-fashioned English. Well, try to repeat a mantra in English, your head goes wandering all over the place because it doesn't make, like in other languages, a sort of coordinate right away. If you're saying something in another language or in Sanskrit, it has a type of intonation effect. To start off in English, but I can feel definite changes as I try to intone those words, pick up your body. And it was not longer than 6 months after that symptoms of the body started
to heal.
Yeah. And then they took the cast off and went through a lot of
physical changes.
Well, we better keep going then. We just lived down the road here, and we've known Ed for a while through another friend. Has he met Gene?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
Well, I tell you,
I think you've met Gene too, haven't you?
Yes, I
have. Oh, you have met you've met Hugo then?
No, I think she mentioned Hugo's name to us.
But if I were you, I'd look into your own...
I appreciate the advice. It's very good because, a lot of things hit home.
Those are the real core of all internal healing. Nobody really heals anybody. And I got off and I started to lose work with my weight and everything.
Yeah, that's good. Because, why it was kind of irritating, I kind of agree with what you said, but, my life is starting to settle down now. And, this thing's flared up.
Yeah, that's almost in the way that the grain of sand becomes more noticeable when other things go down.
Getting
more to that. Is that the idea?
Yeah, not only that. The shoulder is definitely a part of the anatomy that represents responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And if the irritation or the condition or the trauma at the time it first occurred, and I'm going to be a little more objective to it. That point of the assumption of responsibility might be something you are trying to evade. And if you were trying to evade it, I can appreciate that because many of us aren't ready to accept responsibility. Now, when we're not ready to accept responsibility, we only think of personal survival and how much we're willing to put out for our own self course. That's normal and healthy. But the moment we have to shift that to assume the responsibility for others and we can't handle it right away, we tend to negate it or try to evade it. Later on, when we assume it, there is the feedback of the initial rejection that pops up to irritate it. But because we might have compensated by taking on a responsibility, it could cancel out in time. So judging from what you're telling me and seeing you from your present state, I would say this. Prior to your marriage, and if you're striving for a lifestyle by a goal of orientation, and an image, I can see why you didn't want to accept responsibility, you just wanted to be you. Till you reach a certain stage where you would feel competent to accept the responsibility. So anytime you negated it, you negated your self-image to the shoulder or buckling down. Now that you've already accepted marriage and you're building a family, the greater responsibility is placed upon that shoulder now to go ahead and live the creative image or goal that you set. But you have to make your goals work. You can't talk about it, but you gotta live it. So that can be your internal therapy and be the way you can compensate for the negating of it prior.
No, in my case, that wasn't the case. I would function better by letting go a lot of goals because I usually accomplish all my goals. I've been very, very successful at things I've done. So, as I say, it hasn't been good in all cases.
Well, that's what I mean. If they were all good, you wouldn't talk about it. You wouldn't be. So the ones that aren't good, this is what I'm talking about. You see, those are those little irritations of are the things that will bring up the anguish because your own body will try to analyze where you went wrong in it. But as far as coping with it, is by looking back and then realizing that as you become more and more mature in the comparison ratio, you can automatically start the phasing out by the natural healing.
Sort of like you're doing a lot of things wrong. Doing one more thing wrong doesn't make a difference, but if you do a lot of things right, one thing wrong makes a lot of difference.
That's right, exactly. You do your own compensatory.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Which is self-image.
That's correct.
Well, we better get rolling then, and I appreciate the talk.
Right.
How long are you going to stay in town, Don?
Some female person. Made him feel that he wasn't living up to his obligations, and therefore made him feel guilty.
And that's why he told about it?
That's why he told about it. Then he assumed marriage as a means to compensate. But I don't think that was the girl he was going to marry.
This is ended. He's sent away from her to India, and I think there was some kind of thing. I mean, you're right. I'm not sure what, but Gina's told me a little. I can't remember, but there's some kind of complicated thing about it.
So I
would that always end up in the shoulder bump?
You bet it does. 99% of the time.
I thought he was Arabian.
But that's essentially what happened when I was out of work. My dad was very patient and everything. Kind of understood the circumstance, but my mom was making me feel that I wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
That she could do.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all right. That's, once you can face it, it's okay.
You mentioned something that was very... You mentioned that the words spoken...
Hmm?
As if you mentioned that the words, and I've heard you say this many times, that the words spoken as a youth, when you say, watch your tongue, come back to haunt you later on. What happens about a person that doesn't speak any of the words? The fact that they're not spoken, can they come back and haunt? Because I was a very, very quiet child. You know, I used to have to people, you know, I don't know how to explain it. Even all through college and high school.
The spoken word is one aspect that makes you have to face what you carry in your head as a blueprint. So, the unspoken word or idea
half
blueprint
for you and half for you guys
can be subliminal.
You're
not hard to say something simply because you practically cope with it, but nevertheless the thought of it being there is a slight aggravation.
Mm-hmm.
Because if mom says you're not showing respond nothing, your mind will still say, give me time, you know, bargaining for time psychologically, emotionally, but never on a verbal level. No, mom, no. You're not making statements orally, but you are mentally trying to buy time. So that can have a slight irritation, not a major irritation.
It's interesting because people would ask me, I just would turn them right off. I'd say, they just want to just talk with me on something. I just tell them, I'm not doing anything. And that would cease and end all conversation. Because when I'd say that, there was nothing they could come back to me yet. And that's the way I wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I walked in
some
one...
more on what I owe you, Donald.
Then I walked in one day,
mm-hmm.
and I...
12 tapes.
What? Ed, don't be ridiculous.
Very
we got
funny.
A big gas fan.
I gotta go home to mom and stuff like that, and... So I guess you guys are going out and eat by yourself. I got to run by the store real quick because I forgot her. She wanted me to get some vitamin C for her.
You want
to
bring you some food?
No, that's okay. I'll just...
Just automatically pumps because of the strain. Takes the pressure off the bladder and the liver so they normalize during the night.
I like the food
like
on your side?
When you come back this way, you're on this position up.
So you're saying tilt the head a bit up, not the foot?
No, the foot up.
Oh, the foot is up.
The short foot was to be like something like this.
Well, then I'm incorrect in what I reported to you. The angina people said that it was the other way. They relieved the pressure on their patients.
They want it. If you're going this way with your foot down, you have one advantage, but you got another disadvantage. This advantage is the pressure is off of here.
Well, that's why it didn't help.
But where the pressure would build up is in here. That's where they build the pressure up. Now, by that time the person gets up to walk, the ankle is stiff. Whereas in the gravity, that's why gravity machines were discovered, and the yogis stood on their head. The part is that this position is a pumping pressure. So that when this is up, it's going automatically. There is no way for it to stop in any area. It's automatic pumping. So everything is going from, and then you get up in the morning, you should be ready for that bathroom to empty and fill. Because everything is staying on time. Mass quanta from storage to...
Yeah, that works for me. That works for me no matter what time I get up. And I have weird hours at night. Sometimes I work till 1 or 2 in the morning. And that makes me sleep later in the morning. But the body will still function properly if a lot of times people don't have
sleep. Yeah, it will, because that's the basic hydraulics of it.
And you see, I don't have any more coffee now.
I know that,
right. You worked on that sore toe, and you almost nearly died. It hurts a bit. But that is really marvelous now.
Yeah.
That's normalizing. Even the shape of the nail is normalizing.
Yeah, because once you start normalizing the transport and delivery of the fluid and the gas.
So they wanted to take that nail off there. They said that it would never be right because I dropped that shimmy.